I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
Struck and killed while crossing the street near her school. The victim is a 17-year-old girl. The investigation into what exactly happened in this Scarborough neighborhood. Good evening. The student was hit near the noon hour.
Witnesses rushing to the scene, hoping to help stopping traffic in the roadway. CTV Scott Lightfoot is live near Birchmount and Danforth with more. Scott.
Well, Nathan, a small memorial has begun to take shape behind me here. A sole bouquet of flowers has been placed on the island within the past few minutes. The scene here has now been cleared by police, but their investigation into why this young woman was killed is just beginning.
A gray minivan sits in the eastbound lanes of Danforth Ave, just steps from the scene of tragedy.
Approximately 11:45 this morning, our officers from 41 Division responded to a call for a serious accident at the intersection of Danforth and Birchmount. When they arrived on scene, they found that a gray Dodge Caravan had struck a female pedestrian.
That pedestrian, just 17 years old, and a student at Birchmount Collegiate Institute, just a few hundred meters down the street.
The young woman, again, was transported by emergency run by paramedics to a local trauma center. And tragically was pronounced deceased when she arrived on scene.
Police say the driver of the minivan was traveling south down Birchmount and was attempting to make a left-hand turn here at Danforth. They say the victim in this case was crossing Danforth from south to north and was doing so at the proper place when the collision happened.
The driver of the vehicle remained on the scene. Police say they were visibly distraught and were taken to hospital for observation. Police assisted officials at the victim's school, helping students leave after class and helping them to deal with the tragic loss.
We have been working with the school in partnership with them to develop a plan for their students and helping them through this difficult process.
The vehicle involved in the collision was towed away by police around 4 this afternoon, and the roadway was fully reopened.
And this is a busy stretch of roadway. Police say there were a number of Good Samaritans immediately following the crash, people who stopped to offer aid, people who stopped to block traffic to those offering aid. They believe there may be some people who drove by, not necessarily knowing what had happened here. They're hoping anyone who might have been in the area around 11:45 this morning, who might even have dash cam footage, will reach out to them, either at 41 Division or Traffic Services. Reporting live in Scarborough, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Elsewhere, no injuries, but a terrifying scene nonetheless. In Milton this afternoon, a school bus was trying to pass another vehicle on Appleby Line when it rolled over into the ditch. There were 3 people on the bus, 2 students and a driver. They were not hurt.
Just ahead, it is nothing less than remarkable. Walking away from this, a plane hits a fence and bursts into flames near Houston. From terror to triumph for more than 20 people on board.
But first to some contentious comments and the appeal for an apology from the premier.
But Doug Ford isn't saying sorry amid backlash surrounding recent remarks on immigration. CTV's Sean Lethong is live at Queen's Park with more. Sean.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, the fallout from this has now become a stalemate, with opposition members urging the premier to apologize or at least reconsider his words. But the premier is not budging.
A heated exchange in the legislature this morning.
Will the premier apologize for his reckless comments?
The opposition accusing the premier of making hurtful remarks towards new Canadians. Doug Ford instead refusing, saying he has always been pro-immigration.
Mr. Speaker, all you have to do is come to a Ford Fest. You'll see the support from people around the world that come there. And guess what, Mr. Speaker? I'll tell you how Ford Nation was created. They came to this country. They couldn't get a hold of any NDP Liberal leaders, but they got a hold of the Mayor of Toronto. They got a hold of the Premier. We show up to their door.
While in Windsor, Essex yesterday, Ford was asked about the labour shortage and was calling for more immigration to Ontario when he said,
well, I just have one criteria. You come here like every other new Canadian has come here. You work your tail off. If you think you're coming to collect the dole and sit around, not going to happen.
And it is not in the desire to welcome new people to Ontario, but in those two images presented by Premier Ford that has some critics saying they push forward a hurtful and unrealistic image of new Canadians.
There are tens of thousands of recent immigrants here in this province, including lots of young boys and girls, who literally heard the Premier of Ontario suggest or imply that they may not be prepared to work hard. Their moms and dads might not be working hard, and that's just not the reality.
And people deserve to hear that from their premier. They deserved an apology, and instead they got an invitation to Ford Fest.
Outside Queen's Park, Ford's comments have many saying, at the very least, some clarification is in order.
Well, the way you put it, I think, frankly, is a little bit shocking, you know, a little bit rough around the edges for sure.
For him not to apologize is... he's not taking in consideration what his comment could have implied.
I think if you're in the wrong, you should apologize, and I think he's in the wrong.
For now, that hasn't happened.
There had been some accusations that Premier Ford was using coded language or perhaps dog whistle politics in his language, but the Liberal leader Stephen Del Duca says he chooses to give the Premier the benefit of the doubt, thinking that it's just poorly chosen words and not some type of coded language. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lee Hong. Michelle, we'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. And our online team has continuing coverage of this story. Head to ctvnewstoronto.ca for more as it develops.
Parents are watching closely. Could younger kids be next in line for a shot of protection against COVID-19?
If Pfizer gets its way, its vaccine might soon be available for children as young as 5. CTV's Austin Delaney is live with more on that tonight. Austin.
Well, it's significant because about a tenth of the population is between the age of 5 and 14. That's a lot of people. If they all got vaccinated, the country would be well on its way to being fully vaccinated.
Hey, puppy!
It is 3:15 outside Kew Beach Public School, and Willow gets a big hug from her daughter, Celeste. She is with other parents waiting to pick up their children. If Health Canada approves a Pfizer application, their kids, aged 5 to 11, will be eligible to get vaccinated. Willow is not sure.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I feel like the younger children are kind of protected right now. We haven't had a lot of issues with younger kids.
Celeste is not sure either.
I don't really want to take my vaccine because even if I take it and it hurts and I just get over it, there'll still be some side effects.
Some of the parents find themselves at a crossroads, whether or not to give their young children a jab. Curtis Ellison and his 7-year-old daughter, Isla, welcome it.
I think the sooner the better. It would be fantastic. Peace of mind, safety. We're all for it.
So if I had to take a vaccine, I would do it. Like a small little needle in my arm, so I'd be okay with it.
Sarah picks up her 7-year-old daughter, Ella, wanting to know more.
I don't have much information about it, so I have to read all the research and see how it goes. I mean, I'm vaccinated, my husband's vaccinated, the whole family's vaccinated. It's only her, she's 8. So if it's safe, I definitely will do it for her.
For a lot of the kids, including Ella, it's the needle.
I already get the flu shot a lot, so I feel like it's not going to hurt quite as much.
An Angus Reid poll asking parents about willingness to vaccinate their 5 to 11-year-old children indicates 51% of parents will, 23% of parents will not, 18% of parents say eventually, while 9% of parents were unsure. Leslie Wilson and her family want the freedom vaccination would bring.
Can't wait for the vaccine for my kiddos. I've got a 7 and a 10-year-old, and we've been counting the days until that's all approved so we can stop worrying.
I think it'll be good because it means I'll be able to go to movie theaters and baseball games and stuff like that.
This parent falls clearly in the not category.
Well, I'm not too keen on it, seeing as the children are not affected by it by much.
His two kids are vaccinated for other diseases, but feels this COVID vaccine was too rushed.
Experts say if approved, it could be ready by Christmas. It's a smaller dose than adults get. The Ministry of Health says they can administer that as soon as it's ready. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
All right, thank you, Austin. And staying with young people, it's back to class for students at a high school in Etobicoke. CTV's Mike Walker is there, and Mike, Silverthorne Collegiate had been shuttered amid an outbreak.
That's right, Nathan. The school was closed for about a week, and Toronto Public Health gave the green light to reopen today. Rapid testing kits were being handed out to staff and students, and this comes as health officials declare more outbreaks at other schools in the city.
a range of emotions for students at Silverthorne Collegiate Institute.
I'm very excited, a little nervous, you know, because you still don't know if the cases are active.
I feel like now that the school shut down, everyone's going to be like more cautious.
Returning to the classroom after a COVID-19 outbreak shuttered the high school for a week, there have been 11 confirmed cases among students.
We want to make sure that it's not transmitting, on multiple levels. And that's what they looked at before they cleared everyone to return today.
Toronto Public Health says a majority of the cases were the result of student-to-student transmission. Voluntary rapid antigen tests were sent home today for staff and students to take twice a week.
Closing the school for a week may abort the infection. And then, having kids go back and be tested just to make sure that they're not asymptomatic carriers, that's a way of doing things.
And it's unfortunate that we had to close and that people were sick. I'm glad how quickly the school was able to do the COVID testing so that we could come back to school.
As the Etobicoke High School reopens, health officials declaring three more school outbreaks at Michael Power St. Joseph High School, Afrocentric Alternative School, and John McCrae Public School. There are now 19 schools in the city with active outbreaks. All but one remain open. The Associate Medical Officer of Health telling CTV News in a statement, a whole school dismissal recommendation is considered if there are multiple cohorts that are dismissed in the school or multiple cases occurring in the school with unknown acquisition of their infection.
I think it depends on how many kids are infected, and do we believe that there is child-to-child transmission?
Back at Silverthorne, a pop-up vaccination clinic is being held this evening for the entire school community. The vaccination rate in this neighborhood nearly 10% lower than the city average.
For other people who are unvaccinated, I'm worried that we may shut down again. Try to do as much as we can to reduce the cases.
Students say this outbreak is a stark reminder to be vigilant. Now, this is the second time a pop-up vaccination clinic has been offered at the school since the outbreak was declared. As for the rapid testing kits, public health says those will be made available to staff and students for 2 weeks. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Mike. And beautiful, bright sunshine today and comfortable temperatures to go along with it. Michelle Jobin is here. Nice evening conditions, too.
Oh, definitely, Michelle. We are actually looking at overnight lows being kind of close to where we should be in terms of our daytime highs this time of the year. And if you like today's weather, there's more of the same on the way for tomorrow. Checking our temperatures throughout the region right now, 15 in Brockville, 18 in Peterborough and Uxbridge, also in Barrie. A little bit further to the southwest, even more warmth, 21 in Essex, 20 in Sarnia, and 18 degrees in Fort Erie and Port Dover. Here in the city of Toronto, it's been a little breezy, as with elsewhere in the region. We're seeing winds out of the west at 20 kilometers an hour right now, gusting up to 35 kilometers an hour. And they'll stay with us for a bit through the overnight and then subside. Winds will be out of the west tomorrow as well. For the most part, we reached a high of 21 at Pearson Airport today. It's 19 there right now with a mix of sun and clouds, sunshine at the Toronto Islands, and 20 degrees overnight tonight. A low of 13. We should be at 5 this time of the year. I'll let you know when the big change in our forecast is going to happen coming up in your 7 day, because it is on the way. Back to you, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. They had only seconds to react and to survive.
An attempted takeoff going horribly wrong at a Texas airport. But this story has an incredible ending. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us live in the studio with more. Raheem.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, the aircraft is registered to a Houston area investment firm. It was carrying passengers hoping to head to Boston to watch tonight's Major League Baseball playoff game. Instead, they're lucky to reach home safely.
Moments of terror at a Texas airport. Firefighters dousing flames engulfing the small plane after it crashed during takeoff. Miraculously, everyone on board survived.
However they extracted themselves, they're off, and no one's deceased. And man, that is an awesome feeling right now for us as first responders.
18 passengers along with 3 crew were on board, the youngest just 10 years old. All somehow getting off the plane safely with only one minor injury.
They were stunned. They were very, very stunned, but they did all self-extricate. We can't tell you how they did that or in what method. And the plane was fully involved when we arrived.
The plane was attempting takeoff from Houston Executive Airport en route to Boston just after 10 a.m. Officials say it traveled 500 feet but never got off the ground, hitting a fence, taking out a nearby power line and bursting into flames. Investigators are now left trying to figure out what went wrong.
Did an event take place that would have made the airplane unflyable going down the runway?
Did the pilots just decide to abort the takeoff too far down the runway to have remaining space to be able to stop? That'll all be looked at.
But for now, a thankful feeling for what could have been a far worse outcome.
Now, the Federal Aviation Administration has been brought in to investigate the crash. As for the one injury, it involved a passenger reporting minor back pain. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. A CTV News investigation has discovered a data breach in Durham is much larger than already known. It includes medical data and potential evidence in a criminal case.
And as CTV's John Woodward reports, one expert says a solution that should have been protecting the data could have been implemented a decade ago.
This is security camera video from a Durham Regional Transit bus from December traveling through Toronto. A man gets on. Shortly after that, the bus is pulled over and it's surrounded by several police cars. The officers are looking for this man. He would eventually be charged with attempted murder. Toronto police concerned this video is now on the internet before his trial, saying as this case is before the courts, any video of the arrest is considered evidence. This video was contained in several gigabytes of data posted online by a group called CLOP. Members of that group were arrested this summer in Ukraine. At the time, police said their worldwide ransomware attacks included several Canadian companies, costing its victims around $500 million. One of those victims was the region of Durham. At first, Durham announced their breach involved the personal information of tens of thousands of public school students. CTV News revealed in August it also included thousands of daycare students' records, including their vaccination statuses.
Now it's clear there's even more information out there. Applications for government assistance, medical reports, complaints about medical staff, even evidence in a criminal case. Some of those people whose names were mentioned in the document told CTV News they had been contacted by Durham Region. Others said they had no idea.
Including the bus driver in this video.
It is astonishing to me.
Ontario's former information commissioner says she ordered Durham Region to encrypt some data 11 years ago after a healthcare worker lost a USB stick. She says it could be done now.
That's why the value of encryption is enormous. And in this case, if you're talking about someone's hacking into it, it doesn't matter what the cause of the interception is. If you encrypt the data, especially sensitive health data, then you've protected it right from the beginning.
Durham Region told CTV News they don't use the third-party software in question anymore and have strengthened their cybersecurity. They don't say if encryption is part of it. John Woodward, CTV News.
By tomorrow, Toronto's Mount Sinai Hospital and the Oak Valley Health System in Markham and Uxbridge will be accepting some of the 6 critically ill COVID-19 patients being transferred from Saskatchewan.
Earlier this year, Ontario accepted about 35 ICU patients from Manitoba, and that's where a pastor who openly violated public health orders has now been arrested. CTV's Vanessa Lee has the details.
Okay, ma'am, I'm just going to have you go on the other side of the...
RCMP arrested Tobias Thiessen on an outstanding warrant at a traffic stop southeast of Winnipeg. The Manitoba pastor has spoken at anti-restriction protests and held church services in defiance of public health orders. The Church of God Restoration calling the arrest an egregious violation of his constitutional rights. With the number of people in intensive care hitting a new high in Saskatchewan, 6 patients are being transferred to Ontario. Doctors worry it's just the beginning.
I fully anticipate, however, that we will be seeing more patients coming in, particularly after the Thanksgiving long weekend.
As of Monday, ICUs were running at 157% of normal capacity, prompting the premier to also request specialized support from Ottawa. Critics say Scott Moe should apologize for letting things get to this point.
The decision that should have been made weeks ago isn't to start sending people away. It's to get the staff here on the ground to help people.
Here in Quebec, COVID cases are on the decline, with 342 new infections today, the lowest daily jump in 2 months. The premier expects the state of health emergency to be lifted in early 2022 once children are vaccinated. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Meanwhile, Public Health Ontario is reporting 328 new cases in its most recent update. 223 of those are among people who either aren't fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. Nearly 21,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 1.5%.
498 more cases are now considered resolved, raising that total to more than 582,000 over the course of the pandemic. Four additional deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 9,819 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 60 new cases in Peel Region and 52 in the City of Toronto. There are 20 new cases in York Region, with 17 in Hamilton and 14 in Niagara. Halton has 10 new cases, with 4 in Durham. Next to the effort to reach those who still haven't had their shot.
Months into the vaccine rollout, there are still thousands of people who remain hesitant. Across the province, more than 87.5% of eligible Ontarians have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And more than 83.4% of eligible people are considered fully vaccinated. That represents more than 10.8 million people. A first-of-its-kind education clinic that started in Scarborough in the spring has now been expanded countrywide.
The goal: to address questions and concerns. CTV's Natalie Johnson has the story.
Inside the Scarborough vaccination clinic, there was a small but steady stream of people coming in for their first or second shot, months after the vaccine was first available to them.
I was just waiting for it. Like, you know, maybe they'll just say, like, you know what, just don't get vaccinated or something like that, but it never happened.
Some of them convinced to finally get the jab by people they know.
What changed your mind?
The family.
Others, a change of heart after speaking to a doctor.
This is Dr. Murji calling from the VaxVax Clinic. How are you today?
Behind the scenes, a team of GTA doctors has been working the phones, offering their time and support to people countrywide who have questions or concerns about the COVID-19 vaccine.
They want to do the best thing for their health, and they're hearing conflicting information from different sources, so they want to speak to someone that they trust.
Anyone can book a 30-minute phone chat with a doctor whose credentials they can Google to ask about the vaccine development process, the science, and the data.
Let's talk a little bit about your health history.
And their own medical background.
Being able to speak to somebody who takes their health history seriously and really, you know, personalizes the response, not just saying, yeah, vaccine, everybody get it, right? But really, like, listening to their story, I think, can help a lot.
The doctors say even this many months into the vaccine rollout,
hi there, is this Susan?
Call volume is still high, combined dozens of hours a day on the phone.
There's a ton of misinformation out there, and a lot of that misinformation is actually masquerading as evidence-based.
For some people, I think there's a gut feeling that there's something wrong with the vaccine. And it's about interrogating that. Like, why do you feel uncomfortable with it? Is it really about the vaccine? Is it really about the evidence? What is the evidence that you trust?
The hope is that a half hour on the phone translates into reassurance and reason, and that the caller then elects to roll up their sleeve once they get the facts about the vax. Natalie Johnson, CTV News.
Ontario will be examining unidentified remains found over the past 40 years for possible links to residential schools. The province's chief coroner says in many cases, his office has not fully investigated human remains when they are deemed to be more than 50 years old. He says that approach is being reconsidered, as the coroner's office may have missed identifying graves linked to residential schools in Ontario.
$1 million each. That's how much kidnappers in Haiti are demanding for the release of 17 captives, including a Canadian. They were abducted Saturday while returning from an orphanage outside Port-au-Prince. The ages of the missionaries being held range from 18 to 48. Five children were also taken, aged 8 months to 15 years old. They were kidnapped by a gang that has a long record of killings, kidnappings, and extortion. The abduction is the largest of its kind reported in Haiti in recent years.
The Governor General continued her visit to Germany today, attending the world's biggest trade fair for books. Mary Simon is representing our country at the 2021 Frankfurt Book Fair. Canada is this year's guest of honor. Her participation is seen as a chance to highlight Canadian literary works internationally. Simon will also take part in a roundtable discussion about Arctic exploration at the Frankfurt Archaeological Museum. Earlier today, she attended a wreath-laying ceremony in Berlin in honor of the victims of war and tyranny. Simon's four-day visit to Germany wraps up on Thursday.
It's been 1 month now, and the lava just keeps flowing. Scientists monitoring the eruption in the Canary Islands say there's no sign of it abating. Molten rock from the volcano on La Palma has destroyed more than 1,800 buildings since roaring back to life September 19th. Almost 60 kilometers of roads have almost been ruined. The government has pledged millions of dollars to help rebuild damaged infrastructure. There have been no casualties, in large part because thousands of homes were evacuated.
In Greece, the Olympic flame was handed over to organizers of the Beijing Winter Games today. The transfer took place at a virtually empty stadium in central Athens. During the ceremony, a small lantern was lit from the flame kindled on Sunday in ancient Olympia. The lantern will arrive in the Chinese capital tomorrow, kicking off a domestic torch relay that ends with the Games' opening ceremony on February 4th. Activists are continuing to call for a boycott of the Games over China's human rights record.
Still ahead, portraits of a pandemic. Thousands of submissions from young people culminating with an eye-opening new exhibit at the ROM. An intimate look at the impact of the COVID crisis on kids.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, the cooler temperatures have arrived. Is your home ready for winter? Heating costs are on the way up, so you want to make sure your home is as efficient as possible. And depending on your income, you could be eligible for some free upgrades. I'll have the details. That's just ahead.
The trip to school tomorrow is going to be a very comfortable one. We'll have sunshine and temperature will be in the low teens. Our overnight low tonight is 13 degrees, which is well above seasonal, and we'll continue that trend during the day. A little breezy at times with wind out of the west at 30 kilometers an hour, but going for a high of 20 degrees. Slight risk of some afternoon showers as a little bit more cloud cover builds in. And you know what? If you have the time, tomorrow's a great day to take in some fall colors. Many communities reaching their peak or almost there. Toronto, Durham, New York at 80 to 100% now. Stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
It's going to cost you more to heat your home this winter if you use natural gas, with prices expected to rise by about 15%.
It's wise to make your home as energy efficient as possible, and there are some homeowners and renters that could be eligible for free upgrades. Pat Foran has more on Consumer Alert. Pat.
I do, Michelle and Nathan. Thank you. It's a program offered by Enbridge that is giving away insulation and smart thermostats to help lower your energy bill. It depends on your income, but if you qualify, it's a free service that could save you money.
When the cold weather arrives, you'll want to make sure all your windows are closed tight. Check for drafts, fire up the furnace to make sure it's working, and it's a good time to check and change your furnace filter. Depending on your income, you may also be able to take advantage of the home winter proofing program from Enbridge at no charge.
There's no catch here. It's absolutely free. There's no upfront costs, and it's really just getting the word out.
Corey Morton with Enbridge says the program provides free insulation for the walls, attic, or basement, free draft proofing to seal air leaks, and a free smart thermostat. 22,000 customers have taken advantage of the program since 2012, but Enbridge says as many as 400,000 Ontario homes may qualify. You have to have an Enbridge gas account, heat with natural gas, and renters also qualify but must inform their landlord. It does depend on your household income level and the number of people in the home, or if you receive assistance from a government program. Customers are encouraged to check online to see if they qualify.
All the information on qualification and the service provider for your area will be listed on there, so you can contact them.
The program is fully funded by Enbridge, and the company says customers should only go through the Enbridge website. Be careful of social media ads offering rebates or people going door to door.
Enbridge does not go door to door.
To check for air leaks, a blower door test will be done. Once a contractor seals the leaks, adds insulation, and installs a smart thermostat, a homeowner could save up to 30% on their natural gas bill.
And we'll have a link to the program on our CTV website. Even if you don't qualify, it's still a good idea to do some of these things yourself. Preventing leaks, adding insulation, and getting a smart thermostat could also lower your heating bill. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
1 week later, the pain is still palpable for friends and family of a beloved couple killed in a horrific crash.
Their deaths prompting wider calls for action to better protect Toronto's streets. CTV's John Musselman is live on Parkside Drive tonight near High Park with more. John.
Hi, Michelle. About 50 neighbors gathered here behind me a short time ago, as you recall, they are remembering the victims here, but more importantly, they're worried about speed on Parkside Drive, and they want something done about it as well.
They gathered on Parkside Drive to honor the victims and to send a message to motorists, please slow down. To make their point, they walked onto the road and blocked traffic in both directions. Residents sang a song calling for safer roads. Then there was a moment of silence for 69-year-old Fatima Avila and her 71-year-old husband, Valdemar. The couple was killed in a devastating crash here 1 week ago.
The accident that happened the other day was right after school. There were children crossing the street during that time. It just shouldn't be like this. This should be a safe street. You should be able to access the park and access your home in safe conditions.
Enforcement is always part of the problem, yes. We do need better enforcement, but enforcement only gets you so far. What we need to do is to get rid of this idea that some streets are for fast traffic, and that's a design and regulation choice.
A memorial continues to grow. Today, people place candles and flowers at the base of a pole. Residents say speed is a problem on Parkside Drive. They are calling on the city to do something about it. It was around 4:40 last Tuesday when the couple was sitting in traffic when their vehicle was rear-ended by a BMW driven by a 38-year-old man. It caused a chain reaction crash. Five vehicles involved, three other people were also injured.
My dad is such a loving soul, and he didn't deserve to die this way.
The couple's daughter, Ashley, told CTV News last week that her parents were going to Costco to fill a prescription. She spoke to them on the phone 15 minutes before the crash. The couple was well known on Dundas Street West. Fatima operated a hair salon since the 1970s before shutting down due to COVID. The city says a safety review is being conducted to see what can be done to improve safety in this area.
And visitations were held today for this couple. The family is asking for privacy. Reporting live on Parkside Drive, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, John. A new street sign has been unveiled in Scarborough in honor of Freeman Redmond, a leader in the city's black community.
He was a man of compassion. He was a mentor to so many. He was a giver. He was a person who spoke on behalf of so many in our community with a loud, calm, passionate voice.
Freeman Redmond Circle is located on Warden Avenue between Eglinton and Lawrence. Redmond lived in the area for seven decades. He died in April of last year at the age of 95.
A lovely tribute on a lovely day, and it's nice to know we get at least one more day of this.
Yeah, it's not going to end so soon, so take advantage of it once again, Michelle.
That's excellent advice, Nathan, because we are going to see a shift as we get later into the week. So if you like this weather, the sunshine, the warmth, it's a good day tomorrow again to get outside. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So let's take a look at how we're doing in terms of temperatures right now throughout the region. 19 degrees in the city of Toronto. We reached a high of 21. And again, for context, normal seasonal for this time of the year as a high is 12 degrees. So we're doing quite nicely today. Lots of warmth back into northwestern Ontario and northeastern Ontario today as well. And southwestern Ontario as well. 21 degrees in the city of Windsor right now. Overnight tonight, quite mild as well, 13 degrees. As we head through the overnight period, clear skies, winds out of the west, I should say, around 30 kilometers an hour at times. So a little on the breezy side, that'll subside, but they'll get going again as we get into tomorrow. So here's a look at tomorrow's highs throughout the region. 20 degrees in the city of Toronto, 18 in Waterloo, 21 in Kingston. I've added what our seasonal norms are for this time of the year. So you can see that we're quite warm and doing very nicely. The shift is going to come after we get some precipitation that's rolling through on Thursday. There's going to be a bit of a change in the pattern that we're experiencing. And, you know, there is the slightest risk of seeing some showers tomorrow afternoon, and I'll show you when, but it is minimal. It's mostly going to be a sun cloud mix. Not a lot to show you on satellite and radar right now as we zoom out. Of course, there's some activity off to our east and an area of low pressure, this twist here, as I paint this on, that's going to move in the next little while, and that's our weather maker for Thursday and our temperature dropper as we get past Thursday as well as the front slide through. So putting our forecast radar in motion for you, a little bit of cloud cover as we get into the early morning hours, and we'll start the day with some of that. If you are north of the city, better chance of seeing some spotty showers, slighter risk here in the GTA, and then this system moves in overnight Wednesday into Thursday, and it's going to be bringing us probably about 10 millimeters of rain into Thursday. Temperatures dropping afterwards, 20 tomorrow, 13 for Thursday with showers. Note just 10 degrees on Friday. Temperatures in the single digits, daytime and nighttime as we get into the weekend. Stay with us. There's a lot more in terms of news and weather that we have to talk about coming up after the break.
More than 1.5 million Canadians live with heart disease or stroke, and for some, access to care has been a challenge during the pandemic.
And tonight, a new report is looking at the COVID consequences. Our health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
Things are much better now for Catherine Isaac, but still not 100%.
I was on oxygen, I was on medication for COVID, I was on steroids for my lungs, and yet I still needed to go to the ICU.
In fact, her whole family got COVID this past March, but Catherine's case was by far the worst.
I didn't end up on the ventilator, but I had to do to lay pronate.
Even on oxygen, she could barely inhale. On top of it all, she developed blood clots and suffered a stroke.
I couldn't stand without falling, without wobbling, so I had a walker. And I also couldn't grip anything with my left hand.
The latest report by the Heart and Stroke Foundation looks at the impact of COVID-19 on cardiovascular patients in Canada, not just on those hospitalized like Isaac, but also those who stayed away because of COVID.
We are beginning to have a wave of patients who have worse care than they would otherwise, who have worse outcomes, who need more intense care now because they didn't get the preventative care during COVID.
The Heart and Stroke study shows 82% of healthcare professionals believe COVID-related delays in treatment and diagnosis have resulted in worse health for patients with heart disease or stroke, and 54% worry about a decrease in health for people who did not have cardiovascular conditions pre-pandemic. Dr. Claire Atsma says virtual care has been helpful in many cases like mental health, but for monitoring hearts and lungs, in-person care is essential.
So it's really, really challenging right now. And we're just seeing the after effects of not getting care for over a year.
And she says funding is a key part of catching up post-pandemic to hire more staff and research new ways to deliver efficient care. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
The Ontario government is launching the largest seasonal flu shot campaign in the province's history.
This year, we have purchased over 7.6 million doses of the flu vaccine, which is 1.4 million more doses than last year.
Health Minister Christine Elliott says the first shipment of flu vaccine is already available to long-term care and hospital patients, pregnant women, kids aged 6 months to 4 years old, and those at most risk for flu complications. Starting next month, all Ontarians will be able to get their flu shot at pharmacies and doctor's offices.
Tickets purchased, plans made, but now there's yet another disappointment for those planning on taking in a show.
Celine Dion is canceling her upcoming concerts because of illness. CTV's Andrea Case joins us now. And Andrea, I think naturally people might think, is this COVID related?
Of course, that's naturally where our mind's going to go. Michelle and Nathan, good evening. But no, it is not COVID. But not many details have been released about the condition of the Quebec chanteuse. But she is receiving medical care, and refunds for her show in Vegas are now being offered. Just the latest in a string of changes to the concert lineup. It was meant to be an event. Celine Dion's latest residency in Las Vegas was a special announcement, the inaugural show in a brand new hotel's 5,000-seat theater. While her heart may go on, the show won't. Today came the news the singer has been forced to cancel the shows, tweeting, "I'm heartbroken by this. My team and I have been working on our new show for the past 8 months. And to not be able to open this November saddens me beyond words. Now I have to focus on getting better. I want to get through this as soon as I can." The 53-year-old's illness has been described as unforeseen medical symptoms, severe and persistent muscle spasms, which are preventing her from rehearsing and performing. Shows were scheduled from November 5th to the 20th of this year and January 19th to February 5th next year. Concerts, like so many things, have taken a massive hit due to the pandemic. Yesterday, The Weeknd announced he's moving his tour dates and changing venues from indoor arenas to outdoor stadiums. Now, former ticket holders fear the prices for the new venue will be more expensive. Fans of the K-pop supergroup BTS have had to wait nearly 2 years. Their Map of the Soul tour, scheduled for 2020, has been canceled altogether. Since then, a new album has been released and a new tour, Permission to Dance, kicks off in North America on November 27th. And the rock band KISS was forced to cancel shows last month after both Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons tested positive for the virus.
Okay, fans have been outspoken on social media when it comes to postponements of concerts because promoters do not refund the money because the show is still planned, so they are virtually getting an interest-free loan when it comes to cancellations. One person posted her deceased father purchased the tickets and the money cannot be returned to his account because it is no longer operational. Reporting for CTV News, I'm Andrea Case.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
We have been working with the school in partnership with them to develop a plan for their students and helping them through this difficult process.
Updating our top stories, a 17-year-old girl is dead after being struck by a vehicle near her Scarborough school. The driver involved remained at the scene. There's been no word on potential charges.
I am pro-immigration. I have been pro-immigration from day one.
Way to go, Windsor Essex.
The premier refused to apologize for comments he made about immigrants yesterday. Ford was under fire for calling on hard-working immigrants to help address Ontario's labor shortage.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up 10 basis points to close at 80.86 U.S. American benchmark oil gained 52 cents a barrel to close at 82.96. And the TSX Composite Index gained 101 points to close at a new high of 21,087.
Flair Airlines is adding 14 new routes, and that includes flights between Toronto and Victoria, B.C. The Edmonton-based discount carrier is expanding service to Canada and the U.S. It's looking to have 16 planes serving 28 cities by spring of 2022. Flair is buying four Boeing 737 MAX jets and is hiring more pilots, flight attendants, and operational support staff. The new American destinations include San Francisco, Nashville, and Denver. The calls for an apology from Doug Ford were loud at Queen's Park today.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. And we're joined by Reshmi Nair and our own Colin DeMello, who's co-anchoring this week. Reshmi, I'll start with you. You're gathering reaction.
Yes, Michelle, we're going to have two conversations on CP24 tonight following Doug Ford's comments and his insistence today that he doesn't need to apologize. He's talking about hard-working immigrants, and those are the ones welcome here, according to him. Everyone else, someone who needs to go on the dole, needs to go somewhere else. So we're going to talk to political strategists about the implications and how to move forward. And then we're going to have a conversation with immigrants about what they think that comment means and how it's making traction among their communities.
And also, Colin, MPPs put forward a bill about the challenges trans Ontarians are facing with the health system.
Yeah, and so this is sticking with Queen's Park. Suze Morrison tabled a bill yesterday to make the healthcare system in this province more gender-affirming. We're going to dive into exactly what that means, what that entails, and the experience for LGBT folks in the healthcare system in Ontario.
All right, thank you, Colin and Reshmi. And don't forget, CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
I'm Zaretta Allman. Coming up, a 17-year-old girl is dead after being struck by a vehicle near her Scarborough school. Plus, the premier refuses to apologize following backlash over comments on immigration. Toronto's number one news tonight at 11:30.
It's a unique glimpse into the minds of our young people using art to express their feelings about living through a pandemic.
These submissions, chosen from thousands, soon to be on display at the Royal Ontario Museum. CTV's multimedia journalist Ted Brooks has more.
The youth and youth art sometimes captures feelings in ways that we have difficulty expressing as adults. And so we turned then, you know, said, okay, age 4 to 18, art in any form, we want to get your sense of the pandemic.
It's been really, really challenging for youth, especially because it's so brand new to them, right? You know, the lack of social interaction, being isolated, you know, a lot of youth are having a hard time navigating these changes. And, you know, that brings on things like mental health problems. And so the youth are finding ways to get through it. You know, there's creativity, there's the artwork, and they're also sharing their stories as well.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I was just scrolling through Instagram, going through my stories, and all of a sudden this My Pandemic Story ROM exhibition was just popped up, and I'm like, I should submit one of my artworks for that. COVID-19 made me very confused. I had so many conflicted emotions that I couldn't really express myself in words, and that's when I often just turn to art to express everything that I feel in one kind of body of image. I want my artwork, especially I'm focusing on the hand because I feel like the COVID-19 really focused on touch, like stay 6 feet apart, wash your hands, wear gloves. And by making it look as if it's one from the front but not from the side shows this deceptive and ambiguous disconnection. It's like this hope but linger of disparity. And so I hope maybe once the pandemic is over, this image may be able to like just become one.
We think sometimes that's one of the museum's jobs, is to try to bring us together. You know, have a shared experience through the children's art, right? They're going to be hopefully our guides, you know, to push us together again. And let's start doing that healing now and let's start moving forward.
And the My Pandemic Story exhibit will be open to the public this Saturday, and you'll be able to see it until February of 2022.
Looks so good. Michelle, what can we expect tonight?
Well, we can expect a very mild overnight period because we are looking at clear skies and a low of 13 degrees in the city of Toronto. We're still in the upper teens, really, throughout the region after a high of 21 degrees here in the city of Toronto. So quite warm. And this above seasonal weather, it's going to continue into tomorrow. And then there's a shift. So a high of 20 tomorrow with that slight chance of showers in the afternoon. Overnight low of 11. And then a system arrives overnight Wednesday into Thursday with showers, 5 to 10 millimeters of rain and 13 degrees. Is our high, and notice how the temperatures do take a bit of a dive into single digit territories, highs and lows over the next little while, including a bit of an unsettled weekend. And that's a look at your forecast for now. Remember, tonight's Lotto Max jackpot is worth an estimated $55 million plus four Max Millions. Back to you, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here, have a good night.